Morning, everyone. Nice to be back here again. I was expecting to get flooded out when we came over by the news I saw yesterday, but managed to miss most of it, I think. Today, from that reading in John, I'm going to talk about the sheepfold that Jesus used, told a parable about. Jesus used a symbol of the sheepfold, the shepherd and his flock as a way to teach the people about what he was and what the world was for. So first I'm going to have a look at what the sheepfold is and what it's used for, and then sheep and the characteristics and how they can be symbolise some of the things that we are like, and then what all that applies to the ecclesia and ourselves now. So first I want to talk about the sheepfold. Some of the information that I got is about sheepfolds in the UK. So I'm gathering that they, by what all the pictures I found, they're similar shape and similar uses as they were from the ones in Israel. The weather's a bit different there, but that's about the same thing. So the meaning of sheepfold in the Strong's dictionary, it means a court, a sheepfold, a hall or palace. It means a yard is open to the wind, or by implication a mansion. And those other things I said were what it's been translated as in scripture. So it's been translated as court, sheepfold, hall or palace. It was designed for the protection of a flock of sheep. It has four walls of rock or wood, and it's placed in a square or rectangle shape, high enough to stop the sheep being able to jump out. And one end, they have an opening for entry and exit. In the evening, the shepherd would lead his flock to the sheepfold, and they would go in it for the night. The sheep would then lie down. The shepherd would then lie down across the front of the door and sleep there, so he'd be aware of anything was happening in it with the sheep, and if anyone, there's thieves or wolves, as Jesus says, were coming, he'll be able to wake up and then protect them. The main reason they were used for is protection from bad weather, but other uses include a place the animals could be treated for illness or sorted out for selling, etc. The sheep would quickly learn which was their fold, and they'd walk there unguided if necessary. They would be kept there during the night, and in the morning the shepherd would open the door and call them. They'd wake up and walk back out, and the shepherd would lead them to where they're watering and their grazing areas and everything. So now I'm going to have a look at the sheep and what they're symbolised in the Bible. All throughout Exodus and things, the use of sheep there, God called the congregation his flock. In Psalm 77 verse 20, I've got that written down on here, so, but if you like to look it up, that's fine. Psalm 77 verse 20, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And they're also referred to as an ecclesia in the wilderness. In the New Testament, in Acts 7 verse 38, this is from today's NIV translation. Acts 7 verse 38, he was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai with our ancestors. He received the living words to pass on to us. So that word assembly there means the ecclesia, or as it's translation in some editions of the Bible, it's referred to as a church. Interestingly enough, the word church now we associate a lot with a building and not much with the people, but the origin of the word only referred to the people. So the assembly in the wilderness were the church in the wilderness, or the ecclesia in the wilderness. The assembly in the wilderness was made up of a group of individuals that were tried and tested together. As each sheep in a flock is different and needs individual care, so each member of the flock needs attention and needs attention and development to be part of the congregation or the assembly. Paul explains this through the Spirit in his letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, this is talking about each development that we have to go through, and that's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Ephesians 2, verse 18 to 22. For through him we both have access to one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no strangers and foreigners, accessed by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and household of God. Ye are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus Christ there was the shepherd, in whom all are fitly framed together, grows up to an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So the flock in the wilderness, with Jesus leading us as the shepherd, was building up a foundation and characteristics that God required. Sheep have a variety of characteristics, so they're all similar to the way we act and think, and God uses this to teach us. Sheep are an animal that follows leaders amongst themselves and ultimately the shepherd. If there's no shepherd, the flock can sometimes go into dangerous places without knowing them, making them vulnerable to, for example, to attacks and getting stuck in swamps. I'm not sure if I've told the story of our flock of pet sheep that we had once, where there was an old pond that had developed this crust over the surface with some grass on it. And they weren't meant to go anywhere near it, but one day they got out. And one of them decided that the grass on top of this pond was the place to go. And so it ran, and it straight away hit the surface and sunk into the mud. And the ones behind it all followed. And soon there's about 20 sheep in this pond, all swimming around. None of them could get out. And it took me and my brother probably a couple of hours with a rope trying to lasso these sheep. But it was quite a good example of one sheep following another all into disaster. We had a lot of very black sheep after that that were supposed to be white. In contrast to that, a shepherd will need to take responsibility for where his flock goes and lead them to a safe place and care for the sick or weak ones. The tendency to follow sometimes doesn't always mean a good thing, and in Isaiah it's written, Isaiah 53 verse 6, I think it's probably a well-known verse to all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone into his own way, and Yahweh hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So in this we can see that these particular sheep have gone astray and are not following the shepherd as they should. That was Isaiah 53:6 and Psalm 119 verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So this, the psalmist there was writing how he felt that he had gone astray, but he wanted the shepherd to come and find him. On the other hand, the nature of sheep is typified by Jesus in that chapter in Isaiah. Isaiah 53, that's the next verse along. Isaiah 53 verse 7. He is oppressed and he is afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This shows the response Jesus gave when allowing murderers to take his life so unjustly and did not resist them or open his mouth in defence. I'm now going to have a look at shepherds and what the shepherd's work is. Shepherds are responsible for looking after the flock and making sure they get food, water, shelter, protection, and the sick ones of the flock are looked after. And if any of his flock or sheep get lost, he should be able to know it, because he should know every one of sheep in his flock, and he should be able to, and he'll go out and try and find them. The qualities of good shepherd include compassion. In Matthew 9, there's an example of Jesus caring for his flock. Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So you can see in there is healing sickness and disease among the flock and among God's flock. And Matthew 9 verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And a very similar record in the Mark's record, Mark 6 verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. So you can link that back to when the psalmist was saying that he's lost and he wants someone to find him. Jesus was doing that, because he knew that that was his work as a good shepherd. Other work a good shepherd will do is seeking that are lost. So it's those verses I was just mentioned. Matthew 18, verse 12. How think ye? This is a parable Jesus was telling. Matthew 18, 12. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? And verse 13, and if it so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should not perish. So you can imagine the amount of rejoicing Jesus had over all these people that were lost, that he had the honour of finding. The shepherd also needs to be able to separate and sort their sheep. I can remember the first time I saw this mob, or it was a flock of sheep that was sorting various ones out of, and this person was pointing out which ones he wanted me to sort out. It was, I couldn't see which ones he was pointing on. They all looked very similar to me. But after you spend a while with them, you get to know it's quite easy. So the shepherd needs to tell each one apart quickly and recognise which ones need to go where beforehand. Sick ones need sorting out for proper care, ones that are going to be sold or killed or need to be found. Jacob sorted out the animals he wanted, as an example of sorting out, and placing 3 days apart from the others. He would have done that because a lot of animals quite often, they have their own little groups in amongst themselves and they want to get back together, so 3 days apart, so they can't hear each other calling out or whatever, then that would stop them all heading back to their original flocks. And that's described in Genesis 30, verse 35 and 36. That same day when he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted females, all that had white on them, and the dark coloured lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons, and he put a 3 day journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flock. And placing that into what Jesus will do at the judgment, and then sorting good from bad. Matthew 25, verse 32 and 33. So I'm skipping between the Old and New Testaments here a bit. But, and at the judgment, and before Jesus shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So it's going to be very obvious between the sheep and goats. There's going to be no mistake there. If you're a sheep, then you will be saved. And if you're a goat, then you won't be. And so Jesus won't be wondering which ones are, because they all look the same. He'll know very well which ones are different there. To be able to look after animals properly under your care, you have to know them and spend time with them and learn about how they react to certain things. Also knowing each one's characteristics will be very useful when you're trying to get them to respond to something, or, as I mentioned before, dividing them. If you're working with them and have someone helping you that doesn't know them or how they react to voice or other actions, then it'll be either very hard or impossible to sort them out. Jesus both knows his sheep and we know his voice when he calls to us. John 10 verse 14, so out of the chapter of John that we just read this morning. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As my Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That word know, there has the sense of knowing something absolutely. So thinking this emphasizes the point. Jesus is constantly making sure, emphasizes the point that Jesus is constantly making sure he knows each one of us and what we are like very thoroughly. So when the time comes for us, for him to divide us at the judgment, he's not going to be in doubt in his mind whether we're going to go to the left or the right. In fact, it says in the book of Malachi 3:16, that a book is being written about what we're doing now. Malachi 3:16, then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And then example, the kind of good shepherd that is leading God's flock is the kind of shepherd I'm sure that we'd all want leading us. A shepherd that we know and understand his voice and he goes before us and to find pasture and is ready and willing to give us life for our protection if we're threatened. In contrast to all that I've just been saying, Jesus says that all that came before him were thieves and robbers. And those that tried to lead him did not do it for the right reason, and the flock was scared of them and fled and were scattered and destroyed. Jeremiah 23 verse 1 and 2. Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my sheep, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. And Ezekiel 34 verse 2 to 7. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye clothe you with the wool, and ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye bought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled over them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. I think that's the situation that the children of Israel at the time were in at the time when Jesus was on the earth. The Israelites were being led by this kind of shepherd, and both the shepherds and their flock were on the path of destruction. Example of the sheep were being led by these shepherds, both of them were going to be destroyed, comes from Isaiah 9 verse 16. For the leaders of this people caused them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. So those examples, we need to learn to be very careful who we follow, because following something we are told to by leaders may not be the right. We must always be comparing what we are told with the scriptures and make sure that what we are doing is in accordance with the scriptures. And that's reinforced in 1 John 4 verse 1, where it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets or false leaders have gone out into the world." So now comparing that with ourselves and the Ecclesia. In this exhort so far, I've looked at the sheepfold, the sheep, and the shepherd. Jesus is using this analogy as the way to teach the disciples about death and resurrection. Jesus is the door. So the first time that he said it, it says the disciples couldn't understand what he was saying. And so Jesus explained it so you couldn't really miss his point. So Jesus is the door of the sheepfold, and in him is our pasture found that leads to eternal life. When Jesus calls, those that recognize his voice will rise up from their sleep and come out to meet him. As a shepherd goes out and gathers the sheep that are lost, so Jesus is gathering those in the earth that are lost and recognize his voice and has compassion on them. We have this privilege that God seeks us out to serve him. For a sheepfold to be a place where you want to go for protection during the night, it has to be a comfortable, warm and friendly place. Everyone can play a part in making sure this happens. In the Ecclesia, but it's not just the ecclesial hall, it's wherever we go and wherever we are. It's not just a place on Sunday that we make comfortable and warm for us, our brothers and sisters. One thing I definitely commend this Ecclesia for, the friendliness and place that it's definitely a place to be for spiritual encouragement. We now remember our Lord and how in our protection fought and destroyed our greatest enemy, and gets in and destroys and scatters us. Jesus has left for a short time to see if we will look after and increase his flock while he's away. So let us gain faith and strength and purpose in life to live to the glory of God and to make this Ecclesia and every one of us a part of the flock that Jesus will look after and gather together in the last days. Thank you.